Greetings in the light of the Most Radiant One. Welcome to the voice of the Ashtar Command. I'm Commander Lady Athena, merged with my celestial counterpart, Commander Ashtar. We will be speaking as one voice this evening, or this morning, wherever you may be in this world. And we will be addressing the many celestial emissaries who have come from many advanced planetary worlds in service to humanity and Earth during this time of planetary ascension. This is our second telecast or webcast or radiocast, however you're receiving us. And it's with great joy that I address each one of you who are here on Earth assignment. You have come from a myriad of worlds to transition this Earth in the most extraordinary act of planetary ascension that has ever occurred in the history of our galaxy. Earth is quite unique in this particular transformative process, even though we, the Ashtar Command, are quite adept at transitioning and graduating and, let's say, harvesting worlds into the next galactic programs. But Earth is unique in the sense that it has been lifted, as it were, by the hand of grace to be reset within the original divine plan and patterning. I will be speaking to many of you who I know are ascended masters who have specifically come to this Earth to be of service. Some of you are even Christed ones, lords and ladies of light. You know who you are. Some of you are in young bodies. You have always known who you are. You probably have not had a voice speak to you directly as that. We live in a world that has become, let's say, a distortion field where many blends of informational conveyance is set within the grids. I cannot even say that it's black and white anymore. It's more like a tweed patterning with variegated shades of gray. I would like to delineate for you this evening some guidelines in your discerning of truth, so that as you go about in taking information, you will be able to sift it. I very much like the analogy that Ashtar has given of how to deal with information. He said it's like eating an orange. Everyone takes off the outer peel. Some people like the inner white membrane, and some don't. Everyone throws away the seeds, and some like pulp in their juice, and some don't, but everybody loves the juice. So in your discerning of the different, many different voices that are speaking at this time, go for the juice and know that there will always be seeds in the orange of information. I won't say truth, because truth, by definition, is that which is of the absolute, eternal, unmodified, never changing. So we're speaking about information. Now bear in mind, we of the Ashtar Command, and you who are here as Earth volunteers, we are multidimensional beings. We come from many dimensional perspectives, many, let's say, light overlays of encoded information. We carry packets of information encoded into the very cellular structure of our DNA, of our bones, every part of our body, to the very blade of hair on your head, strand of hair, is encoded with your unique imprint as a spiritual entity. There is no one in the entirety of the cosmos identical to you in any way whatsoever. You are a one of, a uniquely and only begotten Son of God. When I say son, I do not imply male gender. I imply proactive light. By definition, all of creation is female. It is prakriti. In Sanskrit, it is that which is the receptor, the receptive vehicle. So when we speak about male and female, we're not talking about things in the absolute realms. So don't become concerned about that as I language often in the male gender. Know that I'm speaking about the directive, projective aspect of creation. Now in this, and I always like to start with something that's mind-blowing. This will be a mind expansion here. Every letter in the Hebrew alphabet, that is all 22 of them, connects to its own universe, its own hierarchy, and its own specific program of consciousness unfoldment. So in the discussion of the things that I would like to address in these programs, we're going to be going out of the norm in the sense of things that you're used to and familiar with hearing. I will be speaking to that quantum advancement that we need to make now. And by quantum, the word quantum means that we have the potential of absorbing a packet of advancing light awareness and integrating it, which then sets us upon a different path at a higher level. So we as a collective membrane of consciousness, that is the human kingdom, the human, the divine man kingdom, which by the way is seated throughout this galaxy, we are making a quantum advancement in awareness now as a collective group. We are advancing and being eclipsed, as it were, over-lighted and absorbed within a higher universal program, referred to as the Shekinah universe, or the universe of whole light beings, superluminal, limitless light, the Ein Sof. This is the light of the original divine image and similitude in which we were articulated, spoken forth by the Creator. We were made birthless, deathless, immortal. That's an oxymoron, I suppose, or the same thing. But what I'm implying is that we were originally and remain still at one with Source in absolute perfection. We never departed from that. We never left it. In fact, we've never even been contaminated by the samsara, the dream spell, the sleep in time, space, and becomingness that has defined our seeming passage through multiplicities of embodiments in reincarnational cycles, in a myriad of root races, the globes and the chains of the worlds that we have inhabited, the kingdoms of nature that consciousness has sampled and danced through and within and beyond. Expand, if you will, with me, and let's dance into this paradigm in which there are no boundaries. We have been used to thinking in the box, living from the box, living from constriction. And my passion and purpose is to remove these boundaries, remove these seeming separations of definition, for they are illusion, they do not exist. And that which has been the separative factor, that is to say the limited mind, the ego-based mind, it's often called, it's actually the seat, it forms the ego itself, this lower third-dimensional, in-the-box 3D mind. It is this mind that is now being completely dissolved into limitless light. It is the dawning of the Son of God that you are within your innermost being. Those of you who have closed your eyes and seen a brilliant light, light so bright that you can't really tell if your eyes are open or closed. Sometimes I can't really tell if it's light or day. I have so much light in my head. And I think you must be the same way. Your eyes are being readjusted to divine glory. You're entering the gates of glory in a return to your original state, from which in highest truth you've never departed. You've simply gone on a journey without distance, from a place to which you remain still. Now, how can that be? Well, your spirit is part and parcel of God. It is absolutely one in God. You live and move and have your being in that which we call God. In that, you could never be separated from God. You could never be sent forth in a separation patterning, except in a dream spell, except in a perhaps an extension of thought, which clothed itself then appropriately to the thought intent. And yes, that is the way and the only way that we have seemingly appeared in this particular dimensional outpicturing. So having said that, let's consider for a moment why we might have done that. Well, in the beginning, we were part of what was called the galactic program called the Tree of Life. That was the original plan. And in the course of the dream spell, great galactic wars took place. In fact, we're seeing, a shadow of truth in the Star Wars series, in the sense that there was such a galactic battle, and there was the evil empire, and there were the Confederation fleets. And even though that is illusory too, all of these things are storyline for that which never was. But let's just take it as a model, for example, just for the sake of returning our awareness to truth. In that galactic battle, there was a interpolation of a thought that was fallen, a fallen thought form that sought to limit the expansion of the Adam Kadmon, that perfected divine spirit being. And that energy form came in and began to make adjustments into the original program. Now, because we're in a biological testing zone, this particular life station that we call Earth, it's a garden of life. In this garden, these fallen thought forms were allowed to mix with the superluminal light, so that there was a mixture of the original thoughts of God, which are immortal and absolute, and the fallen thought forms of temporary energy, matter, compression, congestion, constriction, and limitation. With that fallen energy, we began to experience a duality and a polarity that brought us into the knowledge realm of the galactic tree of duality, the knowledge of good and evil. In that process, which was allowed because we're also in a free will zone, we have freedom of choice, we have freedom of election, we can move and experience all the ramifications of choice, and we can recycle here as many times as we want to keep repeating the merry or not so merry-go-round. But at this time, you see, the program has come to a point where we're in a cul-de-sac. We can no longer, as a human kingdom, advance beyond where we are now. And because we're in a half-tonality, as it were, within the cosmic chord, we can't stay on that half-tone too long, because the longer you vibrate in half-tonality, the more dysfunctional the whole system becomes, until it sort of implodes and entropically collapses in upon itself, which is really what's happening in the outer 3D world and all of its systems. It's folding in on itself. It is shutting down. It is being short-circuited. It's no longer operational. And those of us that are still trying very, very hard to make these obsolete albatross systems work are becoming more and more frustrated because they're not working. So what is happening? Well, with the interpolation of fallen, limited light into the divine program, there had to be a place for that to reside, and it became what we know as our lower mind, our ego, and it took lodgment in the thinking portion of the brain. And all the teachers, all of the avatars, all of the masters that come through the office of the Christ, they all come through that one nexus point, that chrysalis of energy, all of the masters from all of the world traditions. They all work in harmony. All of them have taught the value of mantra, the value of repeating the name of God. Why is that? Because the vibration of the holy names of God will begin to dissolve that limited mind box, that ego. It begins gradually to, like a holy fire, consume the vibratory frequency of the lower mind. And eventually, with enough mantra, with enough prayer, with enough evocation, with enough praise and worship, with enough raising the consciousness through the names of God or the name of God, that mind eventually gives up and dissolves into a field of light. The field of light has often been referred to as Christ consciousness, or the buddhi, or the intuition, or the mind that was in Christ Jesus, or the Buddha consciousness. All of these things refer to this Christed or divine, divinitized mind. This mind is the true mind, and that mind is the mind that is connected to God at all times. It is in spirit, it is spirit-filled, and it is spirit-indwelt and spirit-activated. So that renewed mind is what is in process of being restored to us, our right-mindedness. This mind then begins to see a very different world is seen from that level than a person who is looking out of what's called the carnal mind or the flesh mind or the mind of the ego. A person actually is incapable of understanding the things I'm talking about when they're in their lower mind. It is foolishness to them. They don't understand it. The fallen mind can never comprehend the things of the absolute. Never. It just is not designed to do that. At best, the manas is a tape recorder. It reminds you to do things in the physical world, but it totally blanks out when it comes to higher consciousness paradigms. So the first thing that needs to be done is the allowing of that mind to be renewed. Because we're in a free will zone, a free will program, we are allowed to proceed in the way of the ego for as long as we want. The wages of doing that is eventual death, because there's a termination point to all illusion. You can only partake of the dream so long before you have to wake up. You can only partake of the fallen cycle just so long before it short circuits, because it's not connected to an eternal principle. That's why it says in the Bible the wages of sin is death. Sin is an archery term which means to miss the mark of the excellence to which you were originally appointed. So we miss the mark of excellence when we divert into duality, into ego association and false identification patterns. It's allowed for a certain period of time, and then you pull the plug on your life. It is said that the body is actually created to be a communication device for eternal love, for divine eternal love. And therefore, because it is a communication device for love, whenever the mind directs the body, and it's the mind that does direct the body is quite innocent of itself, it's your thoughts that direct your actions. And when that direction expresses in loveless patterns, you begin to die. You begin to age more rapidly. You begin to lose energy. You begin to dissipate, and eventually you die. Now, before the fall entered, there was absolutely no evil anywhere. There was no death, no disease, no pain, no hardship. There weren't even any insects and thorns. All of that entered with one silly thought: let me separate from eternal good. and partake of the experience of duality. So now with the choice, once again, to move back into light and life, we will eventually be completely removing our experiential life from the fallen patterns, all of the fallen patterns. These would also include everything horrible that happens on this planet. Please know that God has nothing to do with war, killing, crime, murderous intent, and evil. All of that comes from the fallen mind, every single bit of it. God is not the author of earthquakes and earth changes and wars and the vengeance that human beings exhibit towards one another. All of that comes out of the ego. All of the ego's expressions are divisive, disruptive, chaotic, negative, wicked to the core. In fact, if you look at the word evil and you spell it in reverse, it is live. If you look at the devil and you spell it in reverse, it is lived. So you actually have to go back in time in order to be evil, in order to fall in the fallen one, commonly called in our Western world the devil. You have to be retrogressive. You have to go into the past. You have to go back into things that have already been lived out. Because within the eternal now of the absolute, none of this ever happened. None of this could have ever happened. And I'll point you to one other thing, which is interesting. In the Bible, it describes in Genesis two different forms of creation. In the beginning, God created man and woman. After their own image and likeness, created he them. This is the Elohim, plurality, which is the creator gods. And then later on it said that Elohim formed Adam, the original man, out of the elements of the earth. By the way, there are only eight elements that comprise all in creation, whether it's a man, a fly, or a handful of soil. Everything has the same earth elements. So the Adam, the first Adam, was created out of the soil. And God breathed into his nostrils, and he became a living spirit. And then, after some time, and he proceeded to create, he found that it was not good for man to be alone. So he caused a sleep to fall upon Adam. And he removed the woman from the side of Adam. It says in the scriptures, the rib. But he removed the woman from the side of Adam. So this is an interesting point because it shows that all separation occurred, even to our gender, with the sleeping of Adam, the sleeping of man. And if you read the scriptures carefully, you'll find that it doesn't ever say that he actually awakened. We might get that and imply that because he went on to name all the different animals in creation and you know, all of these things. He knew his wife and you know, the whole story. But the point I'm making is that Adam slept and separation occurred. So now in the return to our original state, it's simply a returning of our self to right-mindedness, called illumination, enlightenment, realization, or apocalypse. We are in the time of apocalypse. What does that mean? It means a great unveiling. And the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And there will be a time when no one will have to ask about God or be taught of God. For that awareness will be spontaneously returned to each one of us. We are in that cycle now when so very many people are having their awareness returned to who they truly are. In fact, since our last radio show when I gave sort of an overview of who we are and where we came from and what our missions were about. I've had several young people call me throughout the week, and they're in various stages of awakening, where suddenly it's, oh, I've had this moment. I suddenly know. I don't know how to put it into words, but I know that I know. And anyone of us that have had this experience knows exactly what they're talking about. So we're in the time of the great unveiling. And I want to encourage every one of you to begin to let go of what you cling to and think is who you are and what you're all about and what life's all about and what's truth. So many of you seem to be looking for absolute truth in a realm of absolute illusion. You're trying to make things real that never were. And I love the statement from the Course in Miracles. Nothing real is threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. So we become stressed and begin the process of aging ourselves and setting ourselves in dissonance with universal harmony, all because we cling so doggedly to an identity that we've never been. We're trying to be a limited human being positioned between birth and death, living a precarious life of trying to eke out a meager survival, cope with all the laws and the shoulds and the shouldn'ts of the material world. And all the while, this God, this godlike being, is screaming, "Let me out of this prison of ego. Let me out of here. There's got to be more than this." And yes, I'm here to tell you the authority of the Office of the Christ and the Order of Melchizedek and the Son of God himself, Jesus Christ, that is the truth. There is so much more, beloved, so much more. And you begin by simply coming like a little child and saying, "I want that, Lord. I want that more than anything. I don't know what is true, but you do. Teach me, guide me, guard me. I place myself fully and completely in your hands with no trace of ego." And you let go, you surrender. And the thing that has to be surrendered is this ego mind that thinks it knows, that thinks it has the answers, that is afraid to show up naked and unadorned. But this is the time of the uncovering, when every hidden thing will be brought to light, and is already. I mean, we see it in the news every day. Not that I want to encourage you to watch the news. In fact, I encourage you not to watch the news. But by the same token, I think you're catching my drift here, that we are designed to be the image and likeness of God, stepping down his love and making it visible in time and space. We are the flames of the Most High. We are the living light. We are the living Word. We are that Word of God that goes forth and creates like unto itself. Our spoken word is so powerful. I shudder sometimes when I hear people speaking with such unconsciousness. It says in the commandments that were given to Moses, not to take the name of the Lord in vain. And people use the name of the Lord with the most meaningless expressions, or words to curse. This is using the most powerful vibration in the universe, exactly the opposite of the way it has been intended to be used. Our voice, I think those of you that are familiar with Dr. Emoto's experiments with freezing water crystals and showing the effects of spoken words and even thought upon water, when you consider that our bodies have been estimated to be as much as 80% water. Can you imagine what we are doing to the water of our own life by cursing and by speaking negative words and hateful words? Can you imagine what you're doing? And likewise, can you imagine when you discipline your tongue and begin to speak the truth and not compromise that truth? Speak the truth from your heart. Heart speech is what we need. What is your truth? Now, you sometimes have to speak very forcibly to people who would keep you in a confinement in some way. I'm not saying that that's bad. We have to be bold in proclaiming the truth and proclaiming our right to adhere to the truth and live it as we know it and experience it. No one has a right to take that freedom from us. By the same token, how can we keep our words to where they produce only what we want in our lives and nothing less? We have to be very vigilant over that tongue. The scriptures say, I set before you life and death. Choose you, therefore, life. We speak life when we speak truth. When we speak truth that is backed by principle, we then begin to build those higher bodies of light which enable us to transcend this entire dream field that we have called a third dimensional, I like to call it a gerbil wheel. And this gerbil wheel mind, we transcend that when we begin to speak truth. Truth begins to create strength within us. People who speak truth not only become very, very powerful, and their voice is very powerful, and their presence very powerful, but they begin to create superluminal vessels to contain their magnificent, multifaceted, ever-expanding, quantum-leaping consciousness. Now, I wanted to get into discerning truth a little bit, and I've gotten off on another vein here. That's what happens sometimes when I'm just speaking and I'm not using any kind of notes or anything. But I want to track back for a moment in how to discern fallen teachings. Number one, fallen teachings always limit, and they always bring you back to body, consciousness, and materiality. Fallen systems never give you a quantum potential. They will position you in a stagnation point. You see, spirit is dynamic. It's a living fire. It is very, very mobile. That's a lame word, but it's the only thing that comes to my mind at the moment. It's constantly exploding in creative outflow. It is never anything that is stagnant. And therefore, teachings that limit you to a certain destination point and then imply that's as far as you can go, all of those are fallen teachings. For example, the simplistic idea of heaven. You go to heaven and that's it. You stay there for eternity. How boring. Most of us wouldn't want to go there at all. Or you go to hell, supposedly. And that's eternal separation and darkness. Again, a stagnant point. Or you go to purgatory. Now, that's a little bit of action there. That's a little better. It's kind of similar to the Buddhist bardos, those worlds that we create on the inner planes, and then get to relive. But the truth is, we are limitless light, ever moving into higher and higher and more intricate, elegant, and beautiful manifestations of divine glory and revelation. So the fallen teachings always limit. The second indication is that they do not have an understanding of hierarchy. They do not understand that there's a continuity of revelations that has been brought forward through countless lords and ladies of light from the beginning of time, and that each, when it's true, aids and enhances the one following. The Alexandrian Library, we lost during that fire 70,000 irreplaceable manuscripts, which has, in fact, left the gap in our understanding spiritually. I was with Sai Baba when he, during the course of a talk on Christianity, he materialized a little Bible, and he held it up and said, this Bible originally had the linking between all the world traditions and all the world faiths, showing that they all taught love. Now, of course, you see certain teachings, and they're teaching anything but love. So he has said, and I quote him here, that the only religion, the only true religion is the religion of love. That is the only way back to the Father. And that way was perfectly embodied and exemplified through Jesus the Christ. Christ means the anointed, pure, divine love. So he was the very image of what we all need to become, what we are all designed to manifest as, a Christ, a godlike being. We were created for holiness, to do good works. So back again to the fallen definitions of the fallen energy. Fallen energy lacks power. It has no transformative power. So if you go into and sit under a teaching where there's no transformation at all and nothing happening, you walk out the same person, that was a dead teaching. So it's fruitless. It has no nothing to produce from it. It's dead works. It's legalistic. It'll have a long list of do's and don'ts, of works that are supposed to in some way shift the furniture of your life. But that's about all it does. It shifts around and rearranges the furniture, but it doesn't do anything to the inner self, the inner compartments of the self. The fallen teachings keep people locked under the law. The law is different from grace. Grace sets you free. And when you know the truth, the first indication is that you have an inner sense of freedom. You become free by knowing the truth. So this law comes in kind of sneakily in certain traditions that keep focusing you into karma, keep focusing you into your next lifetimes, and it fails to teach freedom through grace, those particular thought systems. So don't fall prey to them. Realize that you can step free through grace. This is the age of grace. Those in grace, those in Christ, transcend the law. There is no law in Christ. There is no law in that anointed, spirit-filled state that we call Christ. So that spirit-filled state is what renews the mind and transforms our character inside out to become Christ-like and divine. It returns us to our original state. Also, fallen teachings always focus upon the material body, the form, without understanding consciousness enfoldment. For example, our fallen science teaches that we are evolved from a Big Bang, cosmic soup, and apes. Not exactly a very inspiring thought to hold in your mind. I suppose if you are told often enough that you're related to an ape, that you'll begin to act like one sooner or later. People usually manifest what you hold up to them as your identity. So no, you did not evolve from primordial soup, a cosmic bang, or apes. You are in fact emerged as a thought, a perfect manifestation of the Word of God. You are the only begotten Son of God, because God begot only love. That's it. God is perfect. God has nothing to do with the fall. God has nothing to do with evil. God is totally good. In fact, the original word for good was God. You often hear me say God morning. I don't usually say good morning because the original word was God morning. And goodbye was God betide. So we've, again, compromised our speech to pattern after that which is not exactly precisely true. So the original absolute in which we live and move and have our being eternally, regardless of the thought forms that dreamed that they slept in this galactic tree of duality, we are awakening now. We're awakening to who we've always been. So again, back to the points of discerning fallen teachings, the continuity of revelation and the synthesis of divine truth inherent in all sacred traditions is what we are returning to. In the ascension process, we will be returning individually, and as part of that return, there will be, maybe very small groups that will ascend together as small spiritual families. But this does tend to be rather rare for the simple reason that we are so unique. So that that opening into the superluminal worlds, let's say the higher altar dimensional plans, is available for anyone that wants to step into it through grace right now, right at this very moment. There is nothing that says you have to remain an instant longer in defining yourself as a limited human being. You are a limitless Lord of light. You are a child of God. You are a ray extension from the very heart of the all that is. You are a kiss of love pressed upon the fabric of time and space. You are a re-echoing refrain sung again and again from the heart of God of his eternal love for all that is. That's who you truly are. Now, another indication of fallen teachings, and this would probably fall in the religious categories very much, is that they hold God as a separate entity from man, and heaven as something far off and again separated from man. They fail to recognize the multidimensional aspects of man, and they have no understanding of the quantum potential of consciousness and its eternal unfoldment. So they point to a singular faith without training people. Well, for example, they'll point to a singular faith in Jesus, but they won't train people how to build the Christ body of light to be a Christ. And they don't recognize the collective Messiah of those who are in that process of doing that. They don't understand that there is a body of Christ that goes beyond traditional churches, that the body of Christ is the peoplehood of God that is found throughout the world in all traditions and all religions and all coats of skin. So again, the continuity of revelation, the expansion and plurality of sonship, the synthesis of divine intent behind and resident within all religious traditions, all of this is missing from false and, I won't say necessarily false, fallen teachings, because right endemic in everything you hear and learn, you always find there's some truth. And so we're told that we should really seek out those kernels of truth. Again, it's like eating the orange, go for the juice, spit out the seeds. You're not going to find anything down here that's not mixed. In fact, Sai Baba said that no one is fully good. All are tainted with ego. So therefore, the only way to find God, I'm quoting Sai Baba here, is to find God within your own innermost heart. That is the only place to go looking for your truth. And then you can go out and check it out, you know, in the other arenas and assemblies of faith that you may encounter. But if you want to know the truth, you have no further to go than your breath, which connects you directly to God. That breath in you is the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of the living God. God is in you, breathing you, lives inside of you. You're the temple of God. So go inside that temple and partake of direct encounters with revelation and the presence of the living God. The weights and the measures are the divine names of God, which form an alphabet of light, which is speaking to you now. It is speaking to you in every second. It is as loud as your willingness to hear. Repeat the name of the Lord with love. Pick one that makes your heart sing and repeat it with great love. As you begin to live in the vibration of the name, you will find your whole being begins to change. It has been said by some of the great yogic masters that in this fallen and negative age, it's very difficult to practice all forms of spiritual practice except the repetition of the names of God. The repetition of the name of God is the prescribed path for this age. The Bible says we should pray without ceasing, and that's along a similar line. And the early church fathers used to practice repeating the name of God all the time. And then with the encroaching years and the incrustation of many, many overlays of religious interpretation, we sort of lost that inner heart of true spiritual teachings. In fact, at one point, all of the assemblies of true faith went underground, every one of them. And they would meet in houses, they'd meet in caves, they'd meet out in the desert, they'd meet in secret and remote areas. But the teaching went underground. And it's only in this age that it's being restored. The higher teachings, for example, from my own native, most recent native world of Venus, was just introduced in 1965 on this planet. And we haven't had that teaching now for out in the open, I don't think, ever. Maybe back in, maybe 3,000 years ago, we did. But all truth is highly, highly persecuted. That's why the Bible is so persecuted, because it actually contains the codes of living light that enables you to vibrate the Christ body. The Christ over-self body is actually created and built up and nourished by reading the Bible. And, of course, there's everybody and their dog trying to discredit it and to torment people who happen to enjoy the scriptures, which I happen to enjoy very much. But anyway, another book I highly recommend that really goes into our teachings that I share from a great deal in my own work and teaching is The Keys of Enoch by Dr. J.J. Hertak, Academy of Future Science. I highly recommend all of the works of the Academy, which are certainly guidebooks for what we're going through now in this ascension process on Earth. Another book that I really have appreciated tremendously is A Course in Miracles, which is an excellent teaching for transforming that mind into the mind of Christ, and it is said to have been authored by Jesus. So these are some of the thoughts I've wanted to share this evening. I always have so very much more I want to share within the time that we have, but I pray that what I have shared will be a source of light to enable you to walk your path with greater precision, greater clarity, greater purpose. Have a purpose-driven life. Let your life every day, like an Olympic athlete, be in training to live that excellent life. That divine life, that life of mastership, that life in which you emerge as a Christ yourself. That is the thing to do, is to become Christ-like in every way that we possibly can. And when I say Christ-like, Buddha-like, Krishna-like, put your own name in there. But bear in mind the word Christ means anointed. So be anointed. Whatever you do, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, when you have experiences in these interdimensional planes and are caught up in Merkaba, if you're not operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you will not have any remembrance of your experiences. And you're robbing yourself of all of the wonderful things that you could be seeing and doing in your multidimensional explorations. So really work to be connected to the Spirit, to be Spirit-filled, and to really live the life that only that holy infilling can enable you and anoint you to do. You of yourself can do nothing. It is the Lord within you that does the works of transformation. And when you come to that divine being and give your whole beingness into that divinity, surrendering without any trace of withhold, you will find that your whole being will be filled with light, and you will be in that ascended state, and you won't even remember ever having been in this dream of third-dimensional life. I'm Commander Lady Athena, speaking to you as one voice with my celestial counterpart, my other wholeness, Commander Ashtar. We send forth the love and the blessings from the entire United Ashtar Galactic Command. We bless every one of you. We guard you as the eyelid guards the eye. And we are your brothers and sisters in service to the Most Radiant One, representing many, many worlds, many planets, many civilizations, but all non-fallen sons of God, daughters of God. You are that also. Step back into that and be that. You are the candles of the Lord, and you are the light and salt of this earth. Those of you that may wish to contact me, I'll give you my email. It's Commander, C-M-D-R, Lady, L-A-D-Y, Athena, A-T-H-E-N-A, at AOL. com. Some of you know me by the name Ashtar Athena Sharon. That's my given name. And that's You can find me on the international web and my writings by putting that on your search drive. If you want to join our web group, we have the Ashtar Galactic Command, and it's an MSN group, which is private by invitation only. Any of you that are really certain that you're connected with the Ashtar Command are more than welcome to join us. And again, put it on your search drive, and it will come up. Google is usually the best one for that. I do private sessions by phone for those of you that would like to have a deeper decodement and integration. And I'm always here to be of service to you. I love each and every one of you. I'm your cheerleader, and I'm here to exhort and build you up and encourage you as you do your walk of mastery. Go forth and light the world with your love. Love and love and love again. Keep choosing the love. Loving is the only perfect way to do anything in this world. There is nothing else that is perfect in this entire lower dimensional world but love. Be the living love, and you will be living in Christ and Christ in you. And we are known as people of God by our love. We are known as spiritual people by our love. If you don't see any evidence in love, then you know that person is not living a spiritual life. So it's by our fruit that we are known, and the fruit of the Spirit, the first and foremost fruit of the Spirit, is love. You are the love of God made visible in time and space. And I am your cosmic cheerleader, sending you again love and blessings from the heart of our most radiant one, Lord Sananda, Jesus the Christ, Emmanuel, and the entire fleet of the Ashtar Command. Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed is the name of the Lord. Kadosh, 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 Adonai Sivayot, Melo Kol Haaretz Kevodo. And with the angels, the elders sang, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth are filled with thy glory. Praise the Lord, and let everything within you and without you praise the Lord. And be engaged in good works, that those who see you may witness the Father in you and glorify him. Again, blessings and grace. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh Adonai Sivayot, Melo Kol Haaretz Kevodo.
Coming to a Well, they really don't mean much of anything. They just give me a license to work. I have a I have a master's in it's an interdisciplinary master's. I started out that way. And then I went on after that, and I got that LPC, and now I'm actually a Jungian analyst in training. I've been in training off and on for about 6 or 7 years in that with a Zurich, what they call a diplomate, which is basically the equivalent to a U.S. PhD in psychology. So maybe someday when I grow up, I might have one of those also.
Well, but Go ahead.
I was going to say I'm an amateur scholar, and I just have to give this really active mind. I have something to do all the time, you know. But basically,
Amateur scholar? I don't think so. Let's call you full-fledged. And I have to tell the public that Nancy is as pretty as she is smart. I've had the pleasure of meeting her face-to-face and enjoying some quiet time with her, and love your sense of humor and how you write. Nancy was nice enough to share an essay that she wrote that's called Midlife and Beyond, From Chaos to Creativity, and I just loved it. There's some things in here that I'll be quoting throughout the evening, I'm sure. And we have Nancy for a whole hour, and we would invite your questions and your comments and topic of conversation to call in on the U.S. number. Get your pens and pencils ready. 1-877-270-8714. Let's do that again. 1-877-270-8714. The international number is area code 888-284-3264. International number 888-284-3264. We invite you to call anytime and as often as you can to share the next hour. Nancy, while we're at it, while we're giving people things, while they have a pen and pencil in their hand, tell us how they can reach you.
Well, they can
phone number, website?
Yeah, I'll give you my web address and my email address. My website is www.selfcompass.com. And then the email address associated with that is nance@selfcompass.com.
Okay. All right. Where would you like to start tonight, Nance? What do you want the public to know about your work? How you do your work?
How I view my work?
How you do it? How you view it?
Oh, mm-hmm. How I do it or how I view it? Or both, I suppose, mm-hmm. Yeah. When I first decided to become a psychotherapist, you know, that's initially what I became, was a psychotherapist. I went through the training and all of that. I had some pretty or fairly grandiose ideas of what I was going to do with that. And the same month that I graduated from grad school in 1995, I was also diagnosed with a rather nasty disease. And I ignored it. And because at the time, I was engaged in what most people I would say we call a holistic lifestyle. You know, I'm a long-term meditator. I didn't smoke. I didn't drink alcohol. At the time, I was studying with a master in Surat Shabd Yoga, and I was also working, just, you know, mad like a crazy woman. And so when I was diagnosed, I just really didn't pay that much attention to it and began to just do, you know, alternative things. In fact, one of the first things I did was hopped on a plane and went down to try to find a healer in the Yucatan. And the only directions I had was that he was south of Akumal in a hut near a cenote. So I did everything from things like that to, you know,